When you set out for a trip in your vehicle, do you fill the gas tank before or after the trip? You might not get where you want to go if you tank up later. Same is true with school children and breakfast. The absence of that morning fuel has proven to create challenges in learning and achieving in the classroom. While schools have the ability to offer a school breakfast program, not all are doing it, or if they are, not doing it to its full potential. Legislation moving through the State House in Trenton could improve the situation for the over 300,000 students in New Jersey who are eligible for free or reduced breakfast prices. Our first guest today joins us with all the details. She is the director of the New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition, Adele Tourette. How are you today, Adele?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
And learn more about this issue through the New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition. That was one of the groups associated and one of the programs with the organization that Adele is the director of. It's CFANJ. That's the Center for Food Action.org /NJAHC-home. And, of course, yeah, we have a link over to our website with a more direct route. And this bill is S-1894. It's going to be brought up to a committee vote this coming Monday. What is it calling for? What is it going to be mandating?
Basically, it's mandating that schools who have 70% or more, which have 70% or more free or reduced price eligible students, serve breakfast after the bell. One of the things you said when you first started this segment is it's really the way that schools serve breakfast. We already have a mandate mandating that schools with 20% or more free or reduced price students have a school breakfast program, but we need to make sure that breakfast is served when the children are actually there.
Is there any, how definitive is this bill? Is there any wiggle room for schools who can plead staff hardships, staff shortages, money shortfalls?
There's wiggle room in terms of giving them time to implement it. We are very much looking forward to working with schools that are going to, that may cite options, I mean obstacles, sorry, not options. There are lots of different ways to do this. You don't have to do it. There's no one kind of best practice. There are any number of best practices throughout the district. It could be in different forms in different schools. It's going to look different in a high school than it'll look in an elementary school. So we believe, especially with those schools with such a high percentage of free or reduced price students, that this is very doable, and we very much look forward to working with them and with the New Jersey Department of Agriculture to get these programs off the ground.
Although if a school did want to plead financial challenges in instituting the program correctly, they'd have to look in a mirror for the person to blame, because it's the schools who are leaving the money on the table.
That's exactly right. I mean, really, what schools are seeing that are implementing this effectively is increased federal reimbursements. And that's a key point. The money that we are reimbursed for this program is from the federal government. And I think New Jersey has to really take a long, hard look, particularly these days, at what we can get back from the federal government.
And according to a recent report, too, if 70 out of 100, in other words, 70% of low-income students were served school breakfast, that would bring another, let me just scroll down here, $13,466,080 from federal coffers into the state to completely fund this program.
That's exactly right. I mean, since we have been working so hard, the advocacy community, on increasing access to school breakfast, the reimbursements have more than doubled from about $45 million to $105 million in 2018. That is a significant chunk of change. And we want to see that in more districts throughout the state.
As a state, New Jersey ranks in for the most categories in the school breakfast programs in the upper tier. But if you look at, and there are separate reports that come about through overall nationwide numbers, and then there's a report focused strictly on New Jersey and the school district by school district basis, there are some school districts in New Jersey where a 20% participation rate is the best they can show up with. What are some of those schools going to be challenged with this new mandate? How big of a challenge is a 20, 30% participation rate school going to face versus the schools who are maybe hovering around that 70% mark?
Well, they're very, very, those schools look very different. I mean, if you have 20% or 30% of students who are eligible for free or reduced price meals, it's a whole different calculation in terms of how you serve the kids. I think my feeling is that the heart of the issue is if you have hungry students, no matter how few there are, you need to focus on feeding those kids. We have seen consistently with school breakfast that if you feed kids, you have increased concentration, You have better, you have lower absenteeism. There are a number of great benefits from this. It may be trickier to do in terms of breakfast after the bell for those with lower free or reduced price students, but they can still do it. And we just think it's so important. The focus should be on feeding hungry children. That's the key.
Starting with Adele LaTourette, who is the director of the New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition, part of the Center for Food Action, CFANJ.org, is the website. You can get to the pages for the New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition through that homepage. You are listening to Issues and Ideas. You know, turn the light on to the schools who are getting it done. Should those schools be, you know, is there a thought maybe of a school breakfast workshop slash seminar during the vacations or summer seasons to get the schools who are more challenged in achieving these numbers into a learning environment maybe for themselves as far as, okay, here are the schools who are getting it done, here's how they're doing it, and here's how you can incorporate what they're doing into your school district?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. There will be, in implementation of this and rollout of this, there will be certainly tools that are used to promote the best practices that we've seen in schools throughout New Jersey. So it will be done in different ways. I think there will be different ways to access that information, but that information will be made available to schools who are looking to implement breakfast after the bell.
And certainly you have to think of it, too. There's no cookie-cutter textbook manual way to institute from school district to school district, because every school district is going to have its own nuances, whether it be transportation delays, school population, special needs versus a high number of special needs versus a low number of special needs. So that's part of the challenge as well then, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And that's why I say even in the district, from school to school, you can see different models of ways to serve breakfast after the bell. And that way, those models can make it uniquely responsive to that particular school's school day and, you know, the start of the school day and all of that stuff. So there are ways to kind of personalize it from school to school.
I guess one of the points of frustration, certainly for someone in your organization and others that address this issue in the state, is the drop-off. If there's a high participation rate in the school lunch program, there are many schools which have a rather obscene low number participation rate of the school breakfast program. And it seems like, well, you've got the mechanics in there. Why is the translation from breakfast to lunch have such a diverse number to it?
And really, the answer is look, just looking at the school day. Lunch is part of the school day. So that's why we feel very strongly that the key to serving, to maximizing participation in breakfast, is you make it part of the school day. I mean, that's really the key to making sure that you serve as many children as you possibly can.
Should this legislation pass and be signed into law, which I can't imagine why it wouldn't be, is there any concern that this would be an image of, okay, we've done this work, now we can move on to something else? Or is this still a situation that would have to be watched, monitored, studied to make sure that all the cylinders are hitting and this engine is running on full force?
That's, yes, absolutely. I mean, we will be extremely happy when, assuming that this bill goes through and is signed by the governor, but we will also be very actively involved in monitoring implementation and how it's rolled out. So, yeah, we're going to keep an eye on exactly what happens after the legislation goes through, assuming that that happens.
I've said this before, too, with the after the bell school breakfast program. It's not only a nutrition benefit for students. I think, too, it helps students develop social skills. You're having a shared experience. You're eating breakfast together with other people as opposed to, well, in many cases, because of the working schedules at home, staring at an empty kitchen table or counter, whatever the case may be. It just becomes a more positive social experience, too, as well as nutrition experience for the students.
That's right, and that's one of the things that we've been hearing. And students have the opportunity to have some responsibility in terms of cleanup, in terms of making sure their area is clean. And, yeah, I mean, it's a learning opportunity, it's a socializing opportunity, just an opportunity during the day to start the day off on the right foot.
And, again, this is a bill that's set to be heard this coming Monday at 10 a.m. in the Assembly Education Committee. And hopefully this will continue to go through the process quickly. And, well, it might be too late for this school year, but certainly for the next school year when that's ready to start, the mandate will be in place, the mechanics will be in place, and the schools who are a bit lagging behind other school districts in the state will quickly bring their numbers up in the school breakfast participation rates for all the benefits that you've heard about here with from Adele, and certainly we've talked about quite frequently here on the show. We've had some good trends, some good changes with the numbers, but still work to be done. This legislation will be a great asset and the mandates within it to further progress the school breakfast participation in the state of New Jersey. Learn more about this and other causes regarding schools and hunger in New Jersey. The New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition website is cfanj.org/NJAHC-home. That's the home site, by the way, for the Center for Food Action. That's the organization of which this is a program of. We've been joined by the director of New Jersey Anti-Hunger Coalition, Adele Loterit. And Adele, thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much, Chris.